Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
In Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday. Thank you so much for being with us. Congratulations, you made it. Yeah. It's Friday, just a few more hours to the weekend. Hopefully, stay safe this weekend. It's supposed to get pretty nasty out there tomorrow night, but I think we'll be all right. We got fun 3 hours ahead. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? It's Friday, but hopefully everybody's having a great, great Friday. It is a happy hour, like you said, three wholesome, no. Three great.
You never
hours.
Know. They might be wholesome.
Yeah, no, they won't be wholesome. Nah, probably not. But no, it's a great Friday. Like you said, yeah, it's supposed to be some funk coming through tomorrow. So make sure everybody is safe and everything. But yeah, man, Friday, good big weekend of sports, man. I'm so excited. F1 season starts back tomorrow. They're down in Australia, so obviously get a chance to watch all that. United. I don't know. Is he gonna? I know he played last night.
Came in as a sub last night. Right, Messi did.
No, I saw the assist. I don't know if he scored.
Was it an assist?
I saw
the
assist. Miami's coming to town, so don't know how that's gonna shake out on Sunday and it's St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah,
and the St. Patrick's Day is
on Monday.
On Monday, right? So we're coming up on that, but they have a parade tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, because I was looking at the news this morning and it said at 9 o'clock in Colony Square, and I was like, oh, that's gonna be a parade at work today. Cool. Now how am I going to get to work? I mean, I'm sitting there just looking at it because it said 9 o'clock. It didn't say what day, though.
Oh.
It kept saying 9 o'clock.
The critical
Square.
Oversight by the news
critical
producer.
Oversight. I was like, hold on. Is that this morning they're going to have the St. Patrick's Day parade, or is it got to it's got to be the afternoon?
You got to do it. Is today, though?
No.
Oh,
no,
it's tomorrow. Okay.
It's tomorrow morning.
Yeah, you
got to
do that
on
tomorrow, Saturday.
It's tomorrow morning. But yeah, that freaked me out. I was like, how the hell am I going to get to work?
St. Patrick's Day is very specific type of celebration.
Yes, it is.
Right? Like
a bunch of drunken hooligans.
Yeah, there's other holidays where, like, maybe there's multiple facets of it.
Right.
There's only one thing about St. Patrick's Day.
Drinking.
You just drink, right?
Drinking.
Whether you drink a green beer or an Irish car bomb or whatever it is that you decide you want to have, what else even is there? Does anyone even know? Like, what did St. Patrick do? He had a flute and some snakes, right?
Yeah,
something
he chased
like that?
All the snakes out of Ireland.
Okay, but like,
right?
I don't care about that. Neither do you guys, right? Like, you guys aren't super
still,
fired
there's
up.
There's still snakes in Ireland.
I know, he didn't do a very good job at all.
Are we sure about that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes, we're very sure. But I got a bone to pick with this guy right here.
Like this guy, St. Patrick, gets a whole holiday for
Bo Johnson.
Nothing.
All right, Clifton. I got a bone to pick. Why don't you tell us about the damn eclipse was coming through? You keep us up on all the stuff.
It's true.
And you ain't mentioned it one time that there was going to be an eclipse or something yesterday or the day before.
Well, because it's not like a full eclipse where the moon passed in front of the sun. It's the opposite with Earth passing in front of the moon. So I didn't think I'll be interested in that.
You don't think we like
the only thing
like
that's really
going to
happen with is the moon's going to turn like an orange hue.
Yeah, but you don't think
it was
that's cool?
It was a blood moon.
You don't think that we wanted to see that?
Did you go outside last night, Randy?
No.
Would you have?
Well, I saw it.
Yeah, no.
I knew about it myself and saw it.
I didn't know nothing about it.
I should have said something.
I saw my son's pictures this morning. I was like, oh, damn! I didn't know that was going to happen. Bo usually gives me a heads up.
He does.
Well, I'll do better at that then.
Thank
I didn't
you.
Think y'all would care, honestly.
Oh, I cared, and I saw it, and it was
Different.
Incredible.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to care, but you didn't give me an opportunity.
Yeah, lunar eclipse, solar eclipse, total eclipse of the heart, you let us know, okay?
Yes. All right.
We want to get out there and see it.
Yeah. Jupiter in conjunction.
You got any? So what was the last one? The planet parade, whatever? It was awesome, and I appreciate
still,
you telling
which
me.
Which still happens on a nightly basis. Like, most of them are up and around on a nightly basis.
Right, they're
just
up
not
there.
Like in a line.
Right, sure. They're just not lined up like they're ready to go to recess. But they're still up there. You can get out there with the naked eye. You could see Neptune sometimes. Jupiter something. I don't know.
Jupiter you can.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Like I said.
Jupiter, Saturn, Venus, Mars, you can see them every night pretty much.
It's not just the storm coming tomorrow night though, Randy. There's Storm Norton coming back to the Atlanta Falcons as well.
A critical acquisition by the Falcons.
Well, is it an acquisition or is it a retention? Because
retention.
He already was here,
yes,
right?
Yes, a critical retention by the Falcons. Storm Norton, baby.
He's back. I mean, You need offensive line depth.
You do, and he proved he played well when he had to.
He did to
come in for Caleb McGarry a few times.
He also has a cool name,
and he does.
Brandon Parker is also back in terms of offensive line depth. Jovan Gwynn, we talked about yesterday. The Falcons free agency period has gone about like I expected it to.
Yes,
they weren't going to have a whole lot of money to spend, and thus they haven't spent a whole lot of money. I'm interested just in terms of like, if you look at, we've kind of done this a little bit, like year over year, what do you think the biggest upgrade is going to be from what they had defensively last year to what they're going to have defensively next year? Because as it stands right now, there isn't really.
No.
I think I know what they think their biggest upgrade is going to be, but what do you, like, just in terms of like what the defense was and what the defense is going to be, and don't say guys are going to get better, because that's right. That's true. Like, the guys that have been here need to improve for sure. But like, is there any, like, from a new standpoint, is there something new that's going to be the upgrade?
No.
I think they think the upgrade is going to be the DC. I think that's what they
think.
That's
a great point.
I think that's what they think.
That's a great point.
I don't know if it's a great point, but that's what they think.
No, what I'm saying is that Brick is a known commodity defensive coordinator in the NFL. Jimmy wasn't. And so that could be the case right there. I mean, if you want to look at it from that standpoint, you got a guy who's called defenses, who's had some really good defenses, also had some really good personnel. But Brick has had some really good and learned under some really good defensive coordinators himself, mm-hmm. and so yeah, I got to go with you on that one. You know, as far and it's something that we used to have fun with Arthur Smith, Uno Nuno. You know,
it's really funny that you say that, because that's exactly what I went back to when I thought about that. I was like, because really the biggest change, honestly, like I think hopefully Leonard Floyd can come in and kind of be the almost like mercenary pass rusher like he's been mm-hmm. at this point of
his
career. He's been a one-year guy, and he's had really good success where he's landed, like right around 10 sacks every year the last 4 years. If he can do that again, that'd be great. But, you know, as far as like for like, him and Judon are pretty similar type players. The biggest swap so far is a completely inexperienced defensive coordinator that we all, even when he was hired, were kind of like, oh yeah. Well, I was like, I remember Jimmy Lake. Mm-hmm. He was the Huskies head coach.
Yes, you did.
Didn't go great. No. And then it didn't go great here. And then they kind of neutered him at the bye week. It seemed like Raheem took over, and then the writing was on the wall. He mm-hmm. was going to get fired when the season was over. They waited until a little bit later to do it, but then they did it. And now they bring in a guy that's been a DC. So, I mean, I hope that's a big change. Again, like you said, the most important thing is he's had good defenses when he's had great players. Mm-hmm. Like, the best defense they had.
But he was told us that, though.
Yeah, because he knows.
Yeah, he had told us that.
He's not going to sell us a bill of goods in an interview and be like, nope, it's me. I'm going to like, because that's what Arthur Smith kind of did. He was like,
nah, I got this.
I got it. Don't worry. I made Ryan Tannehill a viable starter in the NFL.
I got this.
Just wait and see what I do with Desmond Ridder.
Yeah. I got this.
We saw. It didn't go great. No, I like that Obrick was honest about it. He was like, I had guys.
Yeah.
Like, the best defense, I think they were fourth defensively in 2022, his first year as DC there in New York. And I mean, Sauce Gardner was AP first team. Yeah. Quinnen Williams was AP first team. Mm-hmm. CJ Mosley, I think, was second team. Mm-hmm. They had a bunch of dudes on that defense.
Exactly.
So to me, like, yeah, okay. If that's the biggest change year over year, great. I like the hire, but I don't buy the jump. You know, like,
no.
Jesse Bates is probably an all pro.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know.
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you're talking about. You don't have those fibers. Mainly, you don't have that guy who to fix your pass rush. Now you got to do it collectively and things like that. And you know, they can figure out a way to get that done. You're right with you know, as far as Leonard, if he can give you that 8.5 that I'm pretty sure he's going to get.
Yeah.
And then other people come along.
You get 8.5 sacks from Leonard Floyd, sign me up today.
And we talked about, you know, Arnold Evan Cady going into a contract year. We know what pass rush is doing contract year. For the most part, a lot of them go and show their ass. And so he's been coming along, so you hope that can be something like that. But I think the biggest thing is who's going to replace everything that 97 brought to you. Leadership, the toughness, the hustle, the accountability, holding others accountable.
What do you think is the bigger loss, the player or the guy? You know what I mean?
The guy.
Like, you think so?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because
I hope so.
Yeah, because the thing is, I think because
I think the player might be a bigger loss in terms of what the defense is.
No, what I mean by that, but that's it's hard. It's you know what? It's so hard to do that because like when I go back to what we talked about yesterday, talking about Cam Jordan down down there in New Orleans. That's the person.
Totally.
Right.
Totally. But Grady's not that.
Grady's not
that. Grady's still.
So I should go to play.
Because if Cam Jordan was available, the Bears weren't going to give him 28 guarantees.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
He's more the person.
And that's what we're like. Obviously, that's vital. I get it. Like, you got to have leadership and veterans and guys like that that are sort of command the room. But also, you know, like Jeff Ulbricht's job is to be the leader of the defense. And
down up in the field.
Right. Understood. Yeah. But like. To me, it's such a bigger loss to lose the player.
Yeah,
because he was the best defensive lineman you had. Mm-hmm. Yes, he was also the leader, and he had been here for a long time and all of that. But, like, the production that you're losing and, like, just the, you know, however many plays that he was playing on a game-in, game-out basis, like, I don't know. That feels way harder to duplicate than the whatever you were getting inside the locker room.
I mean, it's so hard. It, as a player that's played with guys like Gray, it's hard to kind of split those in part. You
right.
know what I mean?
Because he was all of it.
Yeah. You know, and it's hard to just say, well, take this away and all that. Because he encompassed everything of what it was to be a leader of men. We follow 97. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so it's so hard to kind of split that apart. But yeah, his production and the player, because I still think Grady could play.
So do the Bears.
And so do the damn Bears because they gave him what they gave him. But I think that, you know, when you look at can these other young players and, you know, especially Root, can he be that? Because the thing about it is he's bigger than Grady.
Yeah.
He's more athletic than Grady.
Mm-hmm.
He's stronger than Grady. He's all these things other than Grady, but he ain't Grady.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? Because we have not seen him go out there and do it. You've seen a couple here and there flashes and things like that, but like he has got to be the anchor that Grady was and more because you did lose him. That is a big hole in the D-line, but you have a lot of guys to fill the void. They just got to go do it. I think that's the most important thing is that they got to go play and go get it done because ain't no more, you know, baby steps with them. They still pups. Don't get me wrong. They're still pups because they're still all them young players. They're still pups. But you got to, you know, you got to do some overnight eating. You know, you got to go get
you got to get big quick like your pup.
Yeah.
I saw that video.
Oh, my God. That big old.
He refused to cross the bridge.
He's so scary.
It happens.
Big old scary.
Boone doesn't like bridges either.
Yeah, he just big old.
He's come around.
Big old scary so.
He probably never ran over a bridge before.
I don't know, but he's scary. Well, he's going to turn on the damn vacuum cleaner and watch him damn near go through the damn glass door. It looks big old scary so.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, they have got to figure out, you know, and I'm talking about the player themselves. Everybody wants to be good, Bunk. I mean, I want to be a great player. I want to be there. Everybody wants to. How do you go about that? How do you, in your process of getting ready for the season, because you still got a long way to go technically. I mean, there's months and everything like that. But how do you get yourself ready? Because you're going to play a lot more than you ever played before. You know, if you're healthy and all those different things. But, yeah, it's one thing to go from, like, playing in a rotation. And you're still going to be in a rotation, but you're the main guy in the rotation. Like, don't be looking over there on third down like, hey, no. You get your ass. No, I'm sorry. Don't look there when they convert a third down and you think you're going to come out. Nuh-uh. No, when you're the starter, especially at the DT and the DN, no, you go at least two series before somebody comes to get you. You know, ain't no looking over there, tapping your helmet and nothing like that.
Yeah, it's just hard at the end of the first week. And again, understanding that, you know, I didn't expect the Falcons to be doing anything splashy in free agency anyway.
Yeah.
And they were going to have to probably make a move like they did with Grady, or maybe it was going to be on Yamada or something like that. In order to clear space to do it, this is like, you know, you look at how things went last year and for the last handful of years. The talent on the defensive roster today probably isn't as good as it was a week ago, you know? Like, trying to fix the stuff that you need to fix while unfortunately not having the tools to do it make it tough. Hopefully Ulbricht is the big difference maker.
Yeah.
Hopefully you get a couple great guys in the draft because, you know, you had to rob Peter to pay Paul to do anything on your defensive line. And then, obviously, honestly, we keep saying the most important thing is the development of the guys on the defensive line. No, it isn't. The most important thing is Penix. Michael Penix balls out, then things will be fine.
Good quarterbacks put you in good situations.
That'll be it. Like, that's what it is. It just has to be great. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into what's trending here to kick off the show on a happy hour Friday. This hour is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PADLYBuys.com. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Three, no good. Cooper Flagg has the rebound after the missed shot by Jaden Mustaf.
Oh, that's not good.
And Flagg is down.
That is not good.
Flag is down and laying on his stomach. Now rolls to his back under the basket on the right side.
He went high for the rebound, landed. He's holding his left ankle. He wants help to the bench. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I was at the end of the first half between Georgia Tech and Duke yesterday in the ACC tournament. I didn't see the video of it until last night.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be surprised if that dude plays anytime soon. Like, that full body weight comes down, lands on another guy's foot. I mean, anybody that's played basketball probably rolled their ankle like that, but he was way up there for the rebound, full body weight on the ankle, and obviously they had to kind of wheel him back to the locker room, and his coach was talking yesterday. He'd be shocked. He's not going to play today.
No, he's not playing today.
I'd be shocked if he plays in the ACC tournament, and then at that point, you just got to try to get him back for the NCAA tournament early, or they could probably get through a couple games without him, and I don't know. He's got to make a choice as to whether or not he even wants to come back and play, which is another factor too, but sucks, man. You hate to see that happen to a guy like that.
Yeah, I know the coach said today.
Any guy, really.
The coach said that in the presser, he was basically saying that we hope we can get him back for this run.
Yeah.
They're going to be a number one seed. So, say for, I mean, whatever happens in this tournament, they'll be a number one seed. So, that gives you a few more weeks because you don't have to play him in the first game if you're number one seed.
Right.
So, I mean, and I don't ever want to tell or ever come out and say, well, he got to leave. He can't go back and play or anything like that. But you got to think about yourself.
You do.
You got to think about your family. You got to think about your future.
The interesting thing about him preceding this was there was like little tiny rumblings about him not even leaving after 1 year. Like the idea that he might stay at Duke for a second year just because he likes it a lot. And NIL makes it a little bit more you consider it.
Uh-huh.
I had also heard that he so badly does not want to be a Washington Wizard that if they win the lottery, he might stay.
I saw that.
Because, obviously he would not make as much money, and it's not a guaranteed contract, and it's not 4 years, whatever it is, like in the NBA on a rookie deal. But how much could he get in NIL money for being at Duke for another year?
I don't know.
Like, a lot?
Yeah.
Like $10 million close, maybe? I don't know. Something like that. I have no idea.
What makes you think Washington going to be any better anytime soon?
Never. I know. So maybe he stays for 4 years.
What makes you think Washington going to be
good anytime soon? It's just unlikely they'll get the number one ping pong ball every year for the next 3 years. You know, how funny would that be? Like, so Washington gets the ping pong ball, and he's like, nah, I don't want to go there. I'm going to go back to Duke. And then they get it again. And he's like, well, you know what? I'd like to graduate. Let me go back to Duke for that, too.
This
complicates all of it, obviously, because, you know, this is just a different conversation for him rather than just like maybe deciding to go back. I don't think anybody really thought he was going to go back anyway. You don't really pass up all of that money. The reason you reclassify in the first place is so you can get to the NBA faster. Yes. The dude's supposed to be a senior in high school now. Mm-hmm. His twin brother is a senior in high school now.
Yeah. His brother going to Duke?
He's going to Maine.
Okay.
They're
from Maine, right?
Not quite the player that he
is. Are they from Maine?
They are from Maine.
Okay.
Maine just beat Vermont in the whatever tournament they play in for the first time in 30 games.
Damn.
So there you go. Things are looking up for Maine. That sucks. You hate to see it. They also beat Georgia Tech, too. Tech had a lead at halftime, and then Duke came back and got him in the second half. So Tech's season is over.
Yeah.
Unless, I don't know, there's other tournaments, right? They still got CBIs and stuff like that. Those still exist.
Have no clue, man. Have no clue. But speaking of that, I just saw a guy, Garrett Chapman, just posted that I guess is their pro day today.
Okay.
All 32 teams. Good for them.
How many Falcons representatives?
One.
Not 22?
No, one.
How come?
I don't know. I don't know how many over there.
Oh.
I just know my man GP said they're all 32 teams are at Georgia
State. That's even closer than Athens.
Awesome.
Right?
Well, you think about Flyer Branch to Georgia
I guess it's kind of a triangle. Plus, you got to drive downtown.
Yeah, you got to deal with traffic. You don't get police escorts to go to pro days.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. So maybe they won't have 22 people there. All right, we heard the Cooper Flag low light. Unfortunately, the Hawks are hosting my Clippers tonight
in town. I love how you put the Maya in front.
I mean, if I'm gonna do it, you might as well do it.
I like how you put the Maya in front.
If I'm gonna buy into them, I might as well buy into them.
Yeah, so Bogey,
so I'll get a chance to. I'm gonna watch them tonight,
Bogey's
which means they're
back,
gonna
baby.
When I watch the Clippers, they play incredible.
How long is
so? Should I just not watch tonight for the Hawks' favorite?
Exactly. Okay. How long is the tribute video for Bogey tonight?
Full timeout.
Full timeout.
Yeah, first timeout, first quarter.
Uh-huh.
Full timeout.
Okay.
90-second tribute video to Bogey.
All right.
He was on the team in Hawks history.
He was. That's why I was just asking the question.
Like, I guess the 60-win team is probably the best team in Hawks history, but they went further in the Eastern Conference Finals than that team
did. Yeah, because this team didn't have to see damn LeBron James.
Fair enough. Details.
Yeah, they didn't have to see
details. Giannis is pretty good, too. It was hurt part of it, but irrelevant. Norman Powell not available tonight for the Clippers.
No, but that is a Terrence Mann revenge night.
I read a whole article about that this morning. Someone actually wrote like a whole article about Terrence Mann playing against the Clippers.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Was the article good?
It was good.
Okay.
It was well written.
Okay.
It was well written. But yeah. No, it'll be the bogey homecoming. Terrence Mann playing against his former team. Sometimes the Clippers are good. Sometimes they're not good at all. So we'll find out tonight. And the Hawks have won four games in a row.
Man. Just keep stacking them things. Just keep stacking them things and don't take a step backwards. And I think whoever's doing the updates that the Clippers are on a little mini win streak themselves.
Is that right?
I think that's what Joe Patrick said. They're on a mini win streak themselves.
They won one game in a row.
Oh, I think like maybe three of the last four or something.
Yeah,
like
they've won four out of the last five.
Yeah, something like that, man. But I think that, just go out there, continue to play. Like,
Bogey had 30 and 10 last time out? Good for him, because he was playing rough.
I'm telling you this.
He's had a couple good games.
I'm telling you this. If you don't think that thing flying tonight, it's flying tonight.
That's the question.
Yes.
Who takes more shot, him or Niang?
I was just going to ask that same question.
These are all great questions. These are all great questions.
Same question.
We got three prop bets.
Okay.
We got three prop bets.
Okay.
Like over-under on the length of the tribute video.
Okay.
Over-under threes bogey attempts.
All right.
And who takes more shots, George Niang or Bogey?
Oh, man. I'm going to go with Niang.
Niang's going to take more than Bogey?
Yes. Yes.
That probably means the Clippers win. Because that would mean if Bogey's not taking that many shots, that means Harden and Kawhi are probably playing good.
Well, I'm going to say Niang's going to take 16. Bogey might take 15.
Yeah. You know? Niang's going to get him up.
Niang's going to get him up.
Who's going to have more points?
Bogey.
Bogey's going to have more points?
Yeah.
Steph Curry made his 4,000th career three-pointer last night.
Unbelievable, man.
There's only two guys in NBA history that have 3,000.
Ray and
Ray didn't make 3,000. One of them's in the building tonight. James Harden. James Harden's got 3,100 threes.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't
really think of him as one of those guys.
No, but then you go back to the Houston days. And
the era.
And the era.
No offense to him. Obviously, okay, so he's a great shooter.
Who's the other one?
Steph?
Him and Steph.
Yes.
Him and Steph on one?
Only ones over 3,000.
Wow.
Dame will get there probably in the next year and a half. Right. And then the question was, can Steph get to 5,000?
Yeah, I saw that. They said he got to play at least to 40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
If you go by his rate, how many he does per game, say at least 40 and everything. But,
it's
man.
So stupid what he does.
It's unbelievable how, coming out. I mean, I remember watching Davidson in that run.
Oh, of course.
You know, that was such a fun run and everything. Obviously, going to Golden State, the ankle injuries and everything. Then Monte Ellis coming in, and they're at the
my dumbest all time opinion as a sports fan. Yeah. Nah, you got to build it around Monte.
And then,
Steph can't stay healthy.
Yeah,
that's right.
Then he stayed healthy, and then you just saw what it did, and it just went off. And then everybody thinks that they can do that, and that they geared the game around it.
Yes, that's true.
Yes,
it did sort of ruin youth basketball. Yeah,
they geared their game around it.
Any kid you see play basketball now is like, all right, stop pulling from 30.
Yes,
I get Steph does it. You can't.
Yes.
Also, they're good now. They've won 11 straight games.
13-1
that Jimmy's played in.
Yeah, 13-1.
What?
Yes.
All right.
13-1.
All right. And now the Lakers are bad again because LeBron's not playing.
Yeah, Luka went off last night, though.
And they lost by 20.
Yes. Yes.
That's why Bucks are good.
Because
Bucks are sneaky.
I keep telling you.
I didn't buy it.
Yeah, I keep telling you. But no, the biggest
issue. I still buy the Clippers more than I buy the Bucks.
The biggest issue
what an idiot.
Last night was that they thought that Adam Glenn was going to be a defensive stopper.
Dude,
that was unbelievable.
As a guy who watched a lot of Alex Len games when he was a member of the Atlanta Hawks,
right?
The fact that there's a team still actively.
They need a tall people.
I know. They got injuries. I get it.
Yes.
But there's got to be something else. There's got
to
be a Spanish guy out there somewhere.
What bridge did Dwight Howard burn?
I don't know. Some one of them.
Like Dwight.
Because he's got to be better than Alex Len.
Alex Len?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, what is that? People don't like Dwight.
I don't know, man. But he's got to be better than Alex Len.
He is better than
come
Alex
on,
Len.
Man.
Alex Len's
come on,
not
come
good.
On, come on, man.
He's been
not
good.
I mean, they're in the four right now. I think they're a couple games ahead of Houston. Talk about the Lakers.
They're tied with them.
They're tied with
them? Yeah, they got, they're tied.
Okay.
They're ahead of them in the loss column. But behind them in the win column. Both 13 games out.
And then they have to go to Denver. They play Denver tonight.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's going to be one of those things where, I mean, you look at it from a Luka standpoint, he's going to get his. And the teams are going to let him get his. Everybody else.
Well, the problem is that's all fine and good. But when LeBron's not in the lineup, their defense is just atrocious. Like, they just have taken such a huge step back. And also with some of the big guys that they're missing, too. Like, no LeBron.
No Jackson.
No Jackson Hayes. You got Alex Len out there and Luka.
Rui's hurt, too.
Yeah, Rui's hurt, too. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully those guys get healthy because they were playing some fun basketball as well.
Yeah, man.
Probably don't have time to – no, we don't have any time to do this. We'll let you hear from Ian Anderson a little bit later. He was on one of the most recent editions of Behind the Braves. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy. Happy Hour Friday. This hour of the midday show is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast at padlybuys.com. If you're out there drinking something or getting ready to, send us a picture of it at TBM929, at RandyMac81 on Twitter. We'll give you a shout-out on the radio. Or just say hi. Just say hi on Twitter. We'll give you a shout-out like that as well. We'll get back into an NFL no huddle in about 20 minutes as well. Quickly get you updated on the Players' Championship. Rory McIlroy having a really nice Friday. He's 6-under today through 11 holes, so that's birdies on more than half of his holes. He's tied for first place at 11-under. Minwoo Lee also at 11-under. J.J. Spahn, 10-under. Billy Horschel.
Billy
is up there. We like that. Lucas Glover up there as well. A couple Atlanta Drive team members playing some pretty good golf. And Scotty Scheffler's off to a good start today, too. So really good leaderboard. Should be a fun weekend over there at Sawgrass as everybody's getting ready for the Masters, which is not too far away. I know this. I'm not saying like this is just a tune-up for that. This is obviously a very important tournament too.
Right.
But some of the best players in the world are playing really good golf, which is always fun as the majors are right around the corner.
Yeah. Okay. So the LIV golfers don't get to play in the Players.
Not in this one.
Not this. But they obviously they'll be.
They can play in the Masters.
They're playing Augusta and everything like that. But I mean, it's one of those like time of year because we get. Selection Sunday is coming up.
That's right.
So we want to know the tournament and the brackets and all the things. Like I said, the Masters there. One thing that I like, and mainly because Mike Bell put me on it, was the F1. They start their season on Saturday morning.
Yep.
Out down in Australia. So it's that different, but yet NFL. And we're getting close to the NBA playoffs and everything like that. But, yeah, it's getting, in that area of baseball's almost here.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about it. And I know you said we had an Ian Anderson clip because – I didn't realize, and I heard you said it, I know both said it, and Grant said it, like, is Ian Anderson in a situation where if he's bad, he's gone?
Well, if he starts the year on the major league roster, and if they want to send him down, he's got to clear waivers because he doesn't have any.
So, that's what I'm saying. So if they want to send him down because he's pitching like crap, not saying that he will,
then someone else can get him. Someone else can pick him up. Okay. Yeah, the same thing is true of Grant Holmes.
Right.
So that's what makes it likely to me that AJ Smith-Shawver starts the year in AAA just because he has him.
Right.
He has options. So if you need to, if you need to fill a spot, somebody gets hurt or one of those guys pitches bad. Then you can call him up. But, yeah, I don't know. Hopefully he doesn't. Hopefully he just pitches good,
Yeah, man. I mean, he's the last one of the crew, the lookalike crew. Him, Dansby,
I know.
Charlie.
I know.
They all of them had that same little look with the hair and everything. He's the last one. The last one, which is unbelievably crazy when you think about the overturn of the pitching with this team from the night shift to damn Mike Soroka. And obviously Max Fried is gone and everything. But I thought about that the other day, just a different – like the core of the group as far as the fielders and everything.
Yeah.
I was saying, I did read this morning, though, that Arcia has been asked this spring.
That's a shocker.
Yeah.
Surprising.
I was hoping he wasn't going to be Cheeks, all right?
Yeah.
I really was. But he's been Cheeks so we need everybody to play well around him.
It's never good when the whole take surrounding a guy in the lineup is, well, if you just bat him ninth and everyone else does their job, then it shouldn't hurt the team too much.
Yes.
Like, meanwhile, the last couple of you, not last year really, but the years past where you had either him or Michael Harris or whoever else batting ninth, you were getting like historic production out of that spot.
Yes.
And then that guy was also batting before Ronald Acuna.
Mm-hmm.
So you were turning the lineup over to a guy that was the best hitter in baseball, or one of the best hitters in baseball at the time, is such a huge factor in why the offense was so damn good a couple of years ago. I don't know. It's so easy to just be like, stick him at the bottom of the lineup. Oh, but the lineup after the first time through, the ninth batter becomes the guy that's up before the first batter.
Yeah.
So if like the eighth guy gets out and then he leads off the inning, he's to lead off the inning with an automatic out.
Like, that's the number. Bo just told me again, 056.
That's not good.
Yeah. He's been cheeks.
Yeah.
He's been cheeks. Mm-hmm. But there's nobody up there to upgrade, is there? Well, I mean,
they got a young shortstop, yeah, but maybe he's too young.
I mean, go throw in AJ Smith-Shawver and get you a shortstop.
Quit trying to trade AJ Smith-Shawver. Trying to get this guy out of here. Go. He's 3 years ahead of pace.
Go trade AJ Smith-Shawver and get you a shortstop that can hit and field at the same time, because the defense. I mean, how much longer can the defense keep you in the damn lineup? Oh boy, but he's playing some. He's playing the hell out of shortstop, though. How much longer can we keep relying on that?
All right, let's do this as the free agency period in the NFL has cooled. Obviously, like the first tier guys have gotten the contracts they've gotten. The second tier, like the 1 year contracts, have started to kind of dry up as well. There's still, like, if you're a veteran and you don't have a contract yet, now you're kind of probably just waiting until the summer, waiting for somebody to get hurt or whatever, and trying to get on a roster.
Intern today, since Monday, NFL teams have now signed players to $4.8 billion in compensation, including $2.19 billion in guaranteed signings.
All right.
Damn. So, yeah, the money's been going.
Yeah.
They've been shoveling out the money, like you said, but now it's
some teams have more to shovel than others.
But now you're in a point, like you just said, you're signing the veterans, veteran minimums and things like that, and you're also, like we saw with the Falcons, they retain a lot of their own guys.
Yeah, or if you view yourself as a veteran who's not a minimum guy, then you wait until the summer and somebody gets hurt or whatever. I'm interested to see what happens with Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, like Cooper's – cool. I think I saw right this morning, Bunk, that, like, I think it said this Cooper's warning – It's more of a compensation for him type thing, meaning he wants like between 13 and 14 million a year. And so
I think he's going to get that.
I don't, but
neither do I.
But I could be wrong, you know. And then it looks like Dallas is, as far as coming into the Dallas, needs a guy like him.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you're talking about 13, 14 a year. I got to give you a 1 year deal. And I'm sure he wants more than a 1 year deal. Yeah. So that's one thing you got to keep your eye on as far as Cooper Kupp, because he does things that, you know, that all teams need. A guy that gets open and catches the damn football. You know, a guy that's tough as hell. And he is tough as they come, you know, as far as, especially in the run game, because he was such, and we always talk about that in this, in this system that Sean McVay runs. Like, I know they have the same versions of everybody's offense. The same version is here in Atlanta, Minnesota, L.A., San Francisco, and everything. But don't nobody ask their receivers to be as much of a run game as Sean McVay and the Rams. And that could have taken its toll, because this dude was lead blocking up in the damn hole.
It had to have.
You know what I mean? Like, this dude was like –
they didn't move on from Cooper Kupp because they're tired of him.
Yeah.
They moved on from him because he can't stay healthy.
Yeah, man.
Like, if he had played the way that he played a couple of years ago, he'd get a new contract and still be there. Like,
but that's what I'm saying. But the great thing about him was, unlike Matt Stafford should have cashed in after the Super Bowl.
Cooper Kupp did.
Yeah. You know, Cooper Kupp's like, run me mine. And they did. And they did. And so, but yeah, he's still, in my opinion, a top-notch player that plays in the slot, gonna block. And the one thing about him is he don't drop a lot of balls, and he knows how to get into those voids and everything. So, yeah.
If he can stay on the field, he's going to help a team.
Yes.
Interested to see where he ends up. But again, as a lot of this stuff has sort of slowed down a little bit, just looking at the NFC South, pre-draft, post-free agency, and this kind of gets back to something we started the show with and we've talked a lot about this week, is like, that's still the goal, right, to win the division. That's still the first thing you got to do. The division got better.
The division gets Ron Terry another year.
Okay. Yeah, because playoffs.
Yes, because playoffs.
I mean, you look at, you know, nobody did anything crazy in the division because, again, a couple of the teams didn't have any money and one of the teams is the Panthers. Mm-hmm. But, like, I mean, the division didn't get easier, I don't think.
No.
It was supposed to already be easy, right? And you still couldn't do it. So just kind of stacking up what some of the other teams in the division have done and what the Falcons have done. I don't know if the Falcons gained any ground on anybody this week.
I mean, no. I mean, you look at, what did the Saints do? The Saints went out and they obviously, we talked about Cam Jordan. They got J.R. Reed, very good safety to pair with Tyrann Mathieu, who restructured his contract. I mean, they didn't get anything better offensively.
They brought back Chase Young.
Yeah. Which, I mean, if
for a little more money than I thought he was going to get, too.
If name and aura gets you paid, he's going to get paid.
Because he did. Like, I didn't think it was going to look like that for Chase Young, but it's a pretty nice little contract.
Yeah, yeah. When I saw the contract, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
All right, then. You know, but like I said, name and aura gets you. You know who else name and aura going to get paid? Thibodeau up in New York.
Yeah.
Same thing. They you know.
Well, it's the same thing like what happened for Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. Like, they don't want a damn thing. The guy got so much money. Meanwhile, Purdy's been at two NFC championship games, and San Francisco, they're still talking about it.
Then you look at what Tampa did. They went and got pass rusher. Re-signed a lot of their own guys. I saw Levante, rightfully so, coming back on another one-year deal. But no, they didn't do it. I mean, they kept Chris Godwin. I mean, that was a big
deal. Yeah, they got Hassan Reddick and Anthony Nelson.
And I think that's good. Then you look at Carolina. We thought they had Williams.
Thought they had Milton Williams.
Yeah, to pair up with Big Derrick Brown, but they don't have that.
Trayvon Morgan's a nice player, though.
He's a great player. He's a really good player. You lose probably – I think the heartbeat of your defense. Shaq decided to move on from him.
Did he go somewhere yet?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. So they decided to move on
him. He's been hurt a lot.
They signed, they're really good young corner to the biggest deal.
Yeah. Casey Horn got a big contract.
Yeah. And so, I mean, they got some issues as far as the lines of scrimmage, especially offensive. So they can find some ways to shore up that. But then you go to the Falcons. I think this is, I think right now, like I said, pre-draft is the most even probably division of football, first team wise.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a big separation, and I'm talking about separation because I still think all these is average.
Oh yeah,
yeah. You know what I mean? I think all four of the teams. I look at Carolina below average, and New Orleans below average, but I look at Atlanta and Tampa as just average teams.
Well, and that's been one of the big disappointments of the last couple of years. It's leading into the season. It's like, well, you should at least be able to win this division,
right?
And they haven't been able to win the division. I mean, that's a credit. Look, credit. Say what you want to say about the way Tampa kind of handled everything post Brady. They've made the playoffs every year post. Mm-hmm. I know it's only been a couple of years, but they've made the playoffs both years post Brady, and even won a playoff game 2 years ago.
Todd Bowles is a hell of a football coach.
I think their GM's a damn good GM too.
Baker Mayfield is a damn good player.
Mm-hmm.
You say who?
Their GM.
Oh, yeah, Light?
Yeah,
oh,
Light does a
great job. Dude,
really
he does a great job. He does a great job. And the biggest thing, what he's always done, like, when you are a buck, he keeps you. He keeps you around. You know what I mean? It was like four or five opportunities when Mike Evans was going to leave, you know, and then they get the deal done. It was the same thing with Chris Godwin. I thought Chris Godwin was gone, you know. And like you mentioned when we talked about it on Monday, you know, he's coming off of a damn dislocated ankle. And so, but they gave him the money because other teams were going to offer more. And then he saw the ability to go get Baker and then re-sign Baker because I thought he was going to leave. This year, I was like, okay, I think they're going to let Baker offer him the contract because, you know, the quarterback contract, he's like, Baker ain't getting that. And they came with the 3 for $105 or something. Mm-hmm. Baker signs it, and now you got that. So, but I was thinking about this the other day. Would they consider extending Baker this offseason?
This offseason?
Yeah.
I don't know about this offseason. Mason, if he plays like he has been playing,
because
again he's winning them games.
That's what I'm saying.
Last year their offensive line was so hurt and so bad. Like that guy was out there keeping plays alive, making plays downfield, and like even when they were losing games, he was keeping them in it long enough to catch the Falcons in the end and win the division. Right, like that again. That's the biggest frustration of the last couple of years is how far out ahead you got last year. And then just allowed the wheels to fall off as the season went on, and still missed the playoffs. Even after they were 4-0 in the division, and beat the Bucs twice, who won the division, and still allowed them to track you down by the end of the season because of how bad things got. Again, I think like on paper, the Bucs and the Falcons are clearly better than the Panthers and the Saints.
Yes,
but it comes back to what it's always going to come back to with this conversation with the Falcons and Michael Penix, like. You know, I mean, he's essentially going to be a rookie quarterback next season. And we really liked what you saw in those three games. But, like, he's got to play really, really well in order for the Falcons to outplay all these teams and win the division.
I agree with that. I mean, the defense has got to help him out. But Michael Penix has got to be good. Like, he can't be rookie good. He's got to be good. He's got to be, you know what I mean? He's got to put up numbers. And the thing about it, he has a supporting cast, in my opinion, to do that. I think the Falcons' supporting cast is really good. It starts with Bijan, but I think Drake.
Especially, on offense.
Yeah, I think Drake, and they have a good offensive line. I think Drake is going to take another one because you can look at Drake and watch him play and see this dude. He got it. Moody, he stays healthy. He's that guy. It's going to be about eight. Can eight get it? Because if eight, if he can do what me personally thinks that he can with his ability, do they can be one of the best offenses in ball?
Yes, yes, that can happen.
Yes,
but you know. That guy.
Yes.
He's got to do it.
He's got to.
Penix, unlock him.
He's got to come.
He's got the keys.
He's got to come eat.
He's got the keys. We'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Smoke and Joe Patrick going to join us at 12:20. Thanks for being with us on a happy hour Friday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.